You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is off today. What role do regional accents play in American politics? Do they help make politicians feel more down-to-earth, or do they come across as, you know, provincial? A recent New York Times article noted that Governor Scott Walker has begun to change, to soften his Wisconsin accent, maybe in an attempt to broaden his appeal nationally. It's a little subtle, but we have some examples we can listen to here. We've got Governor Scott Walker saying Wisconsin. This is two times now. The first time, some years ago. The second, more recent.
Good evening. I'm running for governor because I love this state, and I believe in Wisconsin.
If they can work in Wisconsin, they can work anywhere in the country.
Okay, so there's the difference, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. I exaggerated a bit. Can, and that O sound. Here's a second example. Our key word here is economy. First, again, an older version, the second more recent.
He's not only scared about the economy,
believe that you grow the economy.
Economy, economy. Well, here with us now to talk about accents and politics is William LeBove. He's a professor of linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania. He's been studying regional pronunciations and the Midwest and beyond for quite some time now. His books include Dialect Diversity in America, The Politics of Language. William, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
So listening to those clips, you've been studying this, as I said, for some time now. Do you hear a big difference in old versus new Wisconsin governor there?
Well, Patrick Healy really picked up the reality of language change in Wisconsin. He just saw it as one particular item. Actually, it's a widespread phenomenon that involves not only the words spelled with short O, like economy and Wisconsin, but also five other vowels in the system of this province. And secondly, he picked up something which is not just peculiar to Wisconsin, but it involves a whole sweep of states from western New York State to Detroit and Cleveland and Chicago and Milwaukee. So it was interesting to us because up to now, only linguists have noticed and described this pattern. Our Atlas of North American English shows that 88 million people are marching in the same direction, but it hasn't come to public attention.
Yeah, this is amazing. This isn't just a Wisconsin accent, but you say it sweeps from Wisconsin all the way to parts of New York State. What are the key defining elements of this accent? Well, first of all, what do we call this accent that covers this huge region?
Well, the linguists call it the Northern City Shift because it was found in all the big cities around the Great Lakes, and it involves a shift like a game of musical chairs. The first thing that happened was that the words spelled with short A moved up to the sound of yeah. That's common enough before letters M and N in most parts of the country. People say man and stand. But in this area, people said that. And in Scott Walker's pronunciation, you'll hear taxes, capacity.
Okay.
And after short A moved up and got out of the way, short O moved forward to occupy the same spot. And that's what you've been hearing in economy and got. It's strongest in words that begin with a G or a K. So I got the job is something that you'll hear quite frequently. And it turns out that Wisconsin has a K before the O and economy. So that's why those two words were cited. They're the ones that you hear what we call a fronting of short O.
Interesting. So I know there's a few other vowels involved in this, but where does this come from? What's the history behind the origins of this type of English, this type of accent?
Well, we've got a theory, which can't be proved yet, but it's just a theory, which is that it all started with the building of the Erie Canal. New York governor decided that was the way the West was going to be opened up and the American economy would be stimulated by building a canal from the Hudson River to Lake Erie. And the people from all over New England came to this from 1817 to 1825 when it was finished. And it was an agricultural and an economical boon to the whole area. And at that time, people came from various parts of New England with different kinds of pronunciation. And a common form was more or less decided on unconsciously, whereas, as I mentioned, in many parts, the letter A is sounded as air and man and Stan. But this was changed to the rule saying all words spelled with letter A are going to be pronounced as air. So people say viet and fact and capacity and taxes.
We're talking to linguist William LeBove about regional accents in the United States, prompted by some national attention to Governor Scott Walker's changing accent, a softening of his Midwestern accent as he hits the campaign trail. You can join in. What does a Wisconsin accent sound like to you? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. William LeBove, big picture. I would assume, you know, with TV and radio and the internet, that regional accents would be disappearing. We'd all start to sound the same over time. You've studied how this changes over time. Are we talking alike more, or are these regional accents still going strong?
Surprisingly enough, our Atlas of North American English shows the opposite of common sense. Instead of all accents becoming the same, a number of them are getting stronger, and this northern city shift is the best example. But it's also true in Pittsburgh and true in the West, where new sound changes are appearing. But some accents are receding. The southern accent is now strongest in oldest people and weaker in younger people. And certain small cities like Charleston have lost their local accent. But in this region, for Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, Grand Rapids, Flint, the bigger the city, the stronger the accent, and the younger the person, the stronger the accent.
And we've mentioned that Governor Scott Walker apparently is trying to soften this accent. Do you think that there, outside of this region, is there a stigma against this urban northern shift, or is it acceptable to the rest of the country to hear people talk like we do?
No, I think that it was quite unconscious, and this is surprising to me because up to now, it's been below the radar. So it could have happened, of course, that gradually people become aware of it. But when people talk about where is the best English spoken, people in Michigan say Michigan. People in Wisconsin say Wisconsin. And the worst English is off there down in the south somewhere. So nobody has picked this up, but Patrick Healy, who wrote that article, has a keen ear. And he picked exactly the words where he was expected to be strongest. And it's so interesting because Scott Walker was not born in Wisconsin. He was born in Colorado Springs. And he moved to Delavan at the age of 10. And for linguists, that's particularly interesting because 10 years old is just about the time when you've had enough time in your formative years left that you can become a native speaker. So he's become a native speaker of Wisconsin, or we would say the northern city shift. And he moved in just in time to do it. If he had come at 17 or 18, he wouldn't have that accent.
Now, how hard is it to consciously change, to do a Henry Higgins, Eliza Doolittle, My Fair Lady kind of thing, and intentionally change our accent? Or is it just, like trying to stop breathing air in a way?
Well, most people will say, I'm a chameleon. I change my accent no matter who I'm talking to, but they exaggerate it. Certain key sounds people can concentrate on and change. And some people are wizards, famous actors. Anthony Hopkins could play Richard Nixon in a very convincing American accent. But most of us stay with the pattern that we have when we were 16, 17 years old, when our system more or less shuts down and freezes. But for certain keywords, people will change. And Scott Walker may or may not have some training in this respect, but I think that the article was very keen in pointing out that this is part of his general shift of personality to deal with people in different parts of the country, and was stated that he said, y'all, to the Southerners. And that's a pretty conscious shift.
We're talking to William LeBove, professor of linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania, about Governor Scott Walker's accent. A recent New York Times article said it seems like he's changing his Wisconsin accent as he travels the country ahead of a likely presidential bid. We'd like to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Do you notice this thing we're calling a Wisconsin accent? Have you ever left the state and had somebody recognize your accent? Or if you're not from Wisconsin, what do we sound like here? Do you think regional accents play a role in politics? We're back with William LeBove. He's a professor of linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania, and we're talking about Governor Walker's accent, the Wisconsin accent in general. Actually, it spreads, this accent, our guest says, from Wisconsin all the way to upstate New York. A recent New York Times report said that Governor Walker is changing, consciously or not, his Wisconsin accent as he travels the country ahead of a likely bid for president. Think Wisconsin, Wisconsin. Economy, economy. I'm exaggerating a little. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think there is such a thing as a Wisconsin accent? Do you have it? Do you hear it in other people? If you're from out of the state, what is it? What do we sound like to you? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now with Dino in Madison. Dino, hi.
Hi there. Yeah, just a couple of comments. I'm not sure if Walker is consciously trying to change his accent. Based on the audio, I barely hear a difference, and I don't think that the entrepreneur would hear a difference. But I do know that politicians do this all the time. If I could just give you two quick recent examples. Number one is George Bush. He spent most of his adult life in New England, yet if he addresses a local crowd, he puts on the Texas draw. Second example would be Obama. When Obama addresses the Senate, he sounds like a newscaster. When he addresses a local crowd, he puts on kind of an urban, stereotypically black accent, even though that really is not the people he was raised amongst. I think it's really disingenuous. I don't like it, but I think all politicians do it. I'll just list it off here. Thanks. Right, bye.
Dino, thanks a lot for the call. Oop. Go ahead.
But, you know, sometimes people exaggerate these things. Sarah Palin was very much criticized for her accent, who said she was putting on, dropping the G's. But I did a little study of President Obama and Sarah Palin, and they shift exactly the same way when they're talking to formally in a public speech. They say working, and they shift back to working when they're doing a barbecue on the White House lawn. So we tend sometimes to hit people over the head when they produce a particular sound that we don't like. Still, I think that there is a conscious effort of some politicians, and your pointing to Bush was a good point.
Thanks a lot for the call, Dino. We'll go now to John in Windsor. John, hi.
Yes, I maintain because of being a minister's kid and moving every 3 years, because he's a minister's kid. And as a minister's kid, you have to adapt. And, you know, when you live in Sheboygan versus Waupaca versus Niagara versus Hudson versus Beloit, there's different syntax everywhere you go. Like, for instance, in Madison, would you call it Shawano County or would you call it like they call it up there, Shawano County? Okay? I mean, it's just, I think that the this is a coping mechanism, and, he's pretty good at it.
John, thanks a lot. That's an interesting point. Are some of us language chameleons, maybe ministers' kids who move around or maybe people who grew up with parents in the military? We're chameleons if we're used to lots of different settings, William.
So I think that John's pronunciation illustrated that he's participating in this big shift. He didn't say adapt. He said adapt. And didn't say Madison. He said Madison. So this is a change that doesn't affect all of Wisconsin, but there's another change that I might mention which really marks Wisconsin as being different. It's the raising of short A before G in bag.
Oh, yeah.
So Wisconsin people will say bag. And when they go to other parts of the country and ask for a paper bag, people don't know what they're talking about.
We were talking about that before the show, and that we think northeastern Wisconsin in particular, you might get a bag of
yeah.
bagels, actually, instead of a bag of bagels.
Fond du Lac, Milwaukee.
Interesting.
It's a vague tendency in the rest of Canada to say bag, but actually to Mick Jagger, and it sounds like bagel.
Talking to linguist William LeBove about Wisconsin's accent, Governor Scott Walker's accent, what we sound like when we talk. We'll go next to Kira in Eau Claire. Kira, hi.
Hi there.
What do you think?
Well, I had kind of two thoughts while you guys were talking. One was I had heard a report on the news that said that a lot of different states will try to hire newscasters with Wisconsin accents because people tend to trust them more because their accent makes them just more trustworthy, I guess. And I thought that was interesting. When I lived in California, people would make fun of my accent all the time. And I remember some guy telling me that my accent sounded like a slice of pie. And so I think there is kind of like some sort of, you know, maybe just a homey feeling about it. But I thought that that was ironic that when I heard you guys say that Scott Walker was trying to get rid of it, because I think you could probably use to be a little more trusted.
Kira, thank you so much. A slice of pie, I imagine, would be a good thing to sound like. But William LeBove, I think you've studied broadcast English in particular. Is that true? They want Midwestern, they want Wisconsin-sounding voices?
Well, the history of the matter is that John Kenyon, a famous English scholar, studied the language of Illinois, northern Illinois, Chicago area, and he wrote the guide for pronunciation for NBC, which is widely adopted to other people, involved things like saying that the word is not route but root. And people from other areas, particularly Ohio and Indianapolis, got very upset that this northern accent should be adopted as the standard for broadcasters. But it so happened. And this new change that we're hearing now in Wisconsin and got the job is strange because the northern area, including Wisconsin, is now moving further away from a broadcast standard.
Interesting. Thank you for bringing that up, Kira. Interesting point. Time for one more caller. I think Matt is with us in Wauwatosa. Matt, hi.
Hi. So I would serve in the military for a few years, and I got a lot of exposure to people from different areas in the U.S., and I never knew that Wisconsin really had an accent until a lot of people pointed it out to me. And the other point I wanted to comment on is kind of adapting or adopting to wherever you are. I noticed that if I hung out with people from, like, the Northeast Coast or Boston, like, I would start picking up on phrases or wording things weird. Then I would come home, and people would kind of say that my accent or my, you know, language sounded a little bit different.
Matt, thanks a lot for the call. Professor LeBove, is this common that people don't even, most of us don't know we have an accent? We think everybody else does?
Yes, that's the most common reaction people have. I don't have an accent. But sometimes if you move to a university or a city where you're going to be surrounded by people who speak differently, they'll point it out to you. And sometimes they make fun of you. But linguists don't feel that way. We think the change and development in the language is good for us and appreciate all the changes that are taking place around us. It makes life more interesting.
Well, that's a great place to leave it. William LeBove, thank you so much for joining us today. That was William LeBove. He's a professor of linguistics at the University of Pennsylvania. We've been talking about regional accents, prompted by a New York Times story looking at Governor Walker's accent, seeing that consciously maybe, unconsciously maybe, his Wisconsin, his northern accent seems to be softening as he prepares to enter the presidential campaign trail. You can keep this conversation going over at the Central Time Facebook page. Tell us your stories about Wisconsin accents and other regional accents, and if you're hearing a shift in our governor as he hits the national stage.